You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the new Right Side Studios, local, state, national. Man, we cover down on all the issues, and like the dude said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. And, you know, I like to say we are south of Birmingham, north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi, thrown in for good measure. Hey, right before I call in or bring in our guest here, I got to say this. A friend of mine, Alan, just texted me and said his mom's not feeling well today. She's laid up at the house and enjoying the show nonetheless. So I am giving a shout-out to Janice in Ardmore. Janice, we're glad you're a listener. You are indeed a Right Side Ruffian mom, and we hope you get to feeling better sometime soon. So there's that. Let me go now and bring in our guest, Dr. Jordan Vaughn. He's a medical practitioner specializing in internal medicine. He's also the CEO of MedHelp Clinics. They have clinics all over this area, but he's also very involved with an organization called Concerned Doctors. They have been on the forefront of sort of taking to task the mistruths about COVID. Also, sort of expanding on the possibilities that there might be another narrative, and doing a great job with it. He's being called upon now to speak all over the nation, and he's been a friend to Right Side Radio multiple times. He's been on the show, and he's with us again. Dr. Jordan Vaughn, how you doing today?
Pretty good. Thanks for having me, Phil.
Absolutely. Well, thank you. Well, listen, I guess just to kick it off, your thoughts on the President of the United States announcing the other day that the pandemic is over. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, first of all, it's pretty interesting given the fact that at least the administration that he's in charge of continually uses the pandemic and the emergency powers that are coming from the pandemic to do a lot of things that aren't necessarily needed. And so just like the loan, student loan bailout and all these other things, it's just interesting to hear from the source himself that the thing's over and basically admitting that he's just using the word pandemic and emergency to push stuff through that no one else would vote for, if that makes sense. So that's from a political stand, that it's an interesting thing. Now, the word pandemic in a sense means everybody, having a disease that's widespread. And so, you know, from a sense that a pandemic is, going on, I don't know about you, but I'm pretty sure most of us know people that are getting COVID.
Right.
Is that,
Yeah.
So I don't understand. I think he just had COVID. So, by definition would mean that if the person in the White House and his wife can get COVID, the pandemic's not over.
Yeah, you would think. I mean, and I realize this is a political point as opposed to a medical point, but I made the point earlier before you came on that you would also think that he is surrounded by advisors who can help him form the opinions and have his talking points in order before he does a scheduled interview, and yet he still said this, and they had to walk it back.
Yeah, and even I think Fauci was on TV the other day saying, "Well, if you listen to what he said after," he's like, "What he said after was there's still work to do." It's like that. If there's still work to do, I 100% agree with that. I'm not sure that what Fauci's doing is helping anything, but there's plenty of work to be done as we clean up from really the mass hysteria my profession pushed upon this society and the disruption that was caused by really, not being scientific and instead being narrative-driven.
And being narrative-driven, you bring up a great point. So just earlier I was reading through the fact that the narrative, depending upon who you read, either extols panic or points out that we're in a better place. I mean, this depends on who's wanting to push the narrative at the time. CNN has one story that says, we've got to keep in mind, no one can declare an end to the pandemic, and there's 400 deaths a day in the United States. And then another one says, yes, we are at that level, but that's lower than it's been since March of 2020 when the pandemic was first declared. What are you seeing? I mean, you have a lot of clinics. You see a lot of people. COVID's still out there, but where are we right now?
Yeah, I mean, definitely COVID is still there, and most of the people that are still getting it are usually older now because they are kind of the last people to really, get COVID, even though they were promised if they sat in their homes and took four vaccines that they weren't going to get it, which was never, with a respiratory virus, especially an RNA virus and a vaccine that's very narrow therapeutically, that was a promise that no one could have ever kept. But in terms of what I'm seeing, it's really the continued issues with the fact that people, by the infection or by the vaccine, are interfacing and their body is part of a reaction involving the spike protein. And the spike protein itself is causing all kinds of what I would call interesting and really, high morbidity consequences. I mean, one of the things that most recently is kind of fascinating is most of the radiologists are starting to agree that all the changes on chest x-rays during COVID are primarily vascular.
Wow.
And that's why you still get changes on your chest x-ray, even though Omicron, for the most part, infects you through your posterior oropharynx or your throat. 10 to 14 days later, people start getting coughs, and those coughs aren't coughs from, infection from their airway, but the coughs are from irritation and inflammation of the vascular or the parenchyma and the vascular of the lung.
Wow.
And so that's, again, we're kind of even starting to understand that, what we thought was a viral pneumonia, and we've talked about this before, is really an endothelial and vascular disease, and even to the point that it doesn't even have to infect your lungs to cause your lungs to cough, meaning infect your lungs as its primary source of injury.
Well, you made a point a moment ago that that you're seeing still a high number if you said that, but basically the elder population seems to be more at risk right now, and maybe you've always been at risk, but are we seeing any trends one way or the other in the younger, more fit population with fewer comorbidities? Are we seeing less transmissibility? What are we seeing there?
Well, I think most of them, at least in the state of Alabama, were unvaccinated, and that actually ends up to be a good thing statistically, because it seems like most of those people, when they get the infection, get an immunity that is pretty robust. It does seem that, the probably more vaccinated and more boosted someone is, at least in my personal experience with patients, they may have less symptoms on the front end, but in terms of treating them in the long term, it's very difficult.
So then where do we go from here? I mean, as a medical practitioner, what do you see the trending? Is there any new emergence within your profession right now that's saying, okay, you know what? We've had 2 years of study. We got pushed a certain narrative for a while. Here's reality. Is there an awakening sort of emerging trend right now that's being more widely accepted, or is it still a split of narratives within the medical community?
For the most part, it's not really a split of narratives. It is a one narrative, and then there is people that ask questions. And so, again, that narrative, I can ask most of your listeners as well as you, do you think that narrative has been correct over the last 2.5 years, the national narrative?
No.
I would say that most people would admit that it hasn't. Even some of the people that pervade the narrative admit that they knew that it wasn't right, and now evidently it's okay to admit that it wasn't. But I would say there is still an insistence in the public health community. And interestingly enough, there was an article in the New England Journal today, which is, very more on the narrative side than anything else. But it basically was kind of, basically chewing out public health officials for not really thinking in a more broad and ethical manner. I probably would say that that's true, because they really didn't think about the consequences of their actions. Instead, there were a bunch of doctors that, think that their actions are, contained within a box. But the secondary effects of everything that the public health establishment has done has, been destructive in ways that we didn't even know. And so for me, has always been, especially even when we're talking about vaccinating children or those things, the reason that it's so important to know all the possibilities and to run through all the possible harms or outcomes before we, recommend a therapy is we're dealing with healthy people at that point. Very different when you're dealing with somebody who's sick. And when you're dealing with somebody who's sick, the therapies are, are a little different in terms of what you'll take a little bit of a risk at. But when you're dealing with a healthy person, it makes no sense to experiment or even try weird or new things because they're healthy. Yeah. And so I think that's where the medical community gets back to square one, where we're allowed to be, you know, trying new things on a new disease on people that are sick and not experimenting on those that are well.
Well, so let me ask you this, Doc, with about a minute and a half left here. In Europe, in your medical opinion, are we at a place where you could say pandemic has moved to being endemic? Are we just going to have to, we're going to live with it. We know that, but are we at the point where we can stop saying pandemic and now it's just endemic to society? It will be like the flu that we have going on.
Yeah. Home? Yeah. And that's what I think it's been endemic for a year. Or more. Really, it was going to be endemic the second it wasn't contained in Wuhan. That's just how respiratory viruses are, especially in the way that our, travel and economy is now. But, in the term of a pandemic, and I could probably, find out Biden probably doesn't know what the word pandemic means.
He's often
said it. But it means pandemos, meaning it's a Greek, meaning means everybody, and it means people. And so, I would argue that right now there's an infection that's affecting pretty much a lot of people. Does that make sense? But yes, it's endemic, meaning it's been here and it is reinfecting a lot of people. It's not just some first time random coming from, instead it's just here to stay.
So. Well, and I guess closing comment here, what I usually hear from you and what I'm hearing again is there's no cause for panic. We're this is something we're going to live with. And by the way, we're actually living with it and we're going to make this.
Yeah. The worry for me is the continuation of injections that the rest of Europe, at least, and a lot of the European countries have totally realized that not only they're not cost effective, but the harms outweigh the benefits immensely for people of younger ages. Wow. And we continue to push it upon the least among us and the most vulnerable. And not only that, at this point, the healthiest. And that, to me, makes no medical sense. And as we continue to do that, I think our respect and our profession should and will suffer its credibility.
Well, Dr. Vaughn, as always, we appreciate you adding some clarity to this. And this is an ongoing topic. Dr. Jordan Vaughn with MedHelp Clinics, but also with ConcernedDoctors.org. You can check them out. We appreciate your time today.
All right. Thanks so much,
Bill.
Right.
Take care. Bye-bye. All right, Boomer, take us to a break, man. We'll wrap this segment here in just a minute. I got a couple things you guys are going to want to know because they do impact things like, our kids. How about that? But, I always appreciate when Dr. Vaughn comes in. His clinics see a ton of people, and he's heavily involved with this organization, Concerned Doctors. Speaking all over the nation, we're lucky to get him on the air. And he literally is saying, it's just here. We're going to live with it. And by the way, we're living with it. Let's stop being irrational. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama, solid conservative, just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Wrapping up this topic, good interview with Dr. Jordan Vaughn. I've been on this whole piece right now about, is the pandemic really over? Well, there's some things that are still happening, just so you know. The pandemic may be over, but the after effects of governmental response, of media over-response, of even some medical community members going into sort of hyperdrive with their narratives, as Dr. Vaughn pointed out, that's gonna have lasting effects. It's going to have lasting responses because some of those responses are just now coming to the point of being able to move to fruition. And what I'm talking about is the legalities of what happened. Not the least of which are some of the locally imposed mandates. Like, for instance, Bloomberg Law, in a piece that came out 2 days ago, Bloomberg Law New York Mayor Eric Adams says he is ending the city's COVID-19 vaccine requirement for private sector workers on November 1st, one of the last remaining restrictions of the pandemic. A lot of folks, this flew under the radar. A lot of folks don't realize that this was still ongoing, that the city of New York was actually mandating private sector employers inside the city of New York had to have a vaccine mandate for hiring and maintaining employees. I mean, you could lose your job working at McDonald's in New York City if you weren't vaccinated. Adams announced the change on Tuesday as he received his second COVID booster himself at City Hall. He also said the city is dropping a requirement that students who participate in after-school activities be... So even to participate in, like, school sports, you had to be vaccinated inside the city by law. That's unreal. He said city government workers will still need to be immunized against COVID. Okay, so he's mandating it for his employees still. Says, we believe we've done a successful job in dealing with COVID, Adams said. The mayor has done away with a range of COVID precautions since he took office. The latest shift comes ahead of the fall and winter months when another COVID surge is expected as cold weather sends people indoors. See, they got to have it. We had so much control, man. When the COVID thing was going on, we had so much control. Here's a story from National Review. Challenges against employer COVID-19 mandates still show no signs of slowing. That right now, it says, there are over 1,000 lawsuits nationwide, 1,000, 50 states, 1,000 lawsuits right now across the nation, all related to COVID, COVID responses, and the vast majority of these, about 75%, are filed against employers who took a heavy hand with mandates that the employees feel like they were in some way discriminated against, had their rights violated, lost their jobs, some property rights were disturbed. I'm just saying, this ain't over. And a lot of these, by the way, are just now coming to fruition because, you know, it took some time for it to set in that you might have an actionable cause you can take to court. Or you might have had the EEOC involved and they have to give you what's called a right to sue letter after they've reviewed your case. Well, guess what? It's coming. But the last thing I want to point out, 1819 News, this is a major victory. So the federal Head Start program, which is basically like kindergartens, federally funded kindergartens around the nation, Head Start has had a mask and vaccine mandate by the federal government. And they took the stance, the federal government did, that because it's federally funded, we get to tell you what to do. Well, a federal court, as of today's date, this story came out on 1819 News, a federal court has permanently blocked the Biden administration's attempted vaccine and mask mandate for preschool teachers and students involved in specific federal programs. A challenge filed by Louisiana and several state attorneys general, including Alabama's Steve Marshall, was in response to the Head Start mandate. It goes on to talk about what Head Start is, but then it also says the Head Start mandate required all program staff and volunteers working in classrooms or directly with children and contractors to be fully vaccinated for COVID-19. The mandate also required immediate masking by all individuals 2 years old or older, two-year-olds with masks. Well, 24 states just won that lawsuit. One of them is Alabama. No more masks and vaccines on your preschool kids and Head Start. There you go. All right, folks, we're moving on. Immigration hypocrisy. That's where we're headed next. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.